can. She pulls me up when she knows I'm sad. She knows her man like only a woman can. Showbiz dinners and the free champagne. Men in suits who think they know it all. No one knows me, but they know my name. That's not real to me.
Johnny Hero Show here on U105, and that was a sample of some of the work we've heard from this man before, Brian McFadden, and he's joining us today. How you doing, Brian?
Not too bad, how are you?
Fine. you're going to be tired because you're at the end of a tour.
Just coming to the end. Now, last night in Belfast tonight, so.
Looking forward to it?
Yeah, well, Belfast's always a good gig. The crowd are always brilliant, so. It's been a long time. I haven't played here in 7 years, so.
You see, when I was looking that up, I couldn't believe it was that long.
7 years. I've been in Australia for 7 years. This is my first show here since then.
Yeah. Well, you'll get a great reception.
We'll see. Hopefully. You know? You never know.
I meant to ask you. Obviously, you left Westlife, biggest band in the world at the time, for the market you were aiming for. Was it particularly satisfying when you managed to chalk up your first couple of hits yourself?
I think it wasn't really. I don't think I wouldn't say it was satisfying. It was just more of a relief to know that I could still have a career after Westlife.
Yeah.
I think that would have been the biggest fear when I was leaving was. You know, at first I just wanted to go home and just do nothing. But then obviously when I had to get back up and work again, I was a little fiery that could be it, you know, that I wasn't going to have success again. But thankfully, what are we, 13 years ago? What was it, 2004? 8 years ago I left Westlife and I'm still gone.
Yeah. So. No, and I suppose it is a worry because we've seen other people who maybe leave the mothership of a band and just, you know, do nothing. They're forgotten about. Because
you can do, bro. I've worked hard, you know. I've done other things besides music as well, like TV. So that's kind of kept me going too.
Yeah, were you doing a lot of TV in Australia as well?
Yeah,
weren't you?
I was a judge on Australia's Got Talent for the last few years.
Well, listen, no better man, I suppose. You've been through the mill, where people, you know, take young acts and sort of groom them, and you know, try and make them chart hits and everything else. So, what was that like?
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice to kind of sit there and watch the birth of something new, you know, especially some of these kids that come through that. You can see how raw they are at the beginning, and then by the end of it, you know, there's singers and stuff getting number one singles. Or we had a magician who went on to have his own show in Las Vegas, which was incredible. So, yeah, it's nice to kind of have a hand in these young talents, you know.
Yeah, but I like to see the judges on these shows are people who have been through that process, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at least you can think, well, he or she knows what she's talking about, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, I have, you know, obviously I've got this with the singing experience and songwriting, but I have a bit of dancing experience as well as a kid, so I had a little bit of knowledge on most of the stuff there. And magic, maybe not so much, but again,
the magician sneaked through.
That the magicians get through. But I think at the end of the day, our job wasn't, you know, it's not like X Factor. We're not really there to kind of judge people. We're more there just to comment on whether we found it entertaining. You know, we're not specialists in every field.
Yeah.
And our show is just about finding entertainment. So if somebody comes on and we found it entertaining or it wowed us, you know, that's all, we put them through.
Yeah, no, that's good. As you said, it's another string to your bow. I didn't know you could dance as well. I know in the band.
I danced. I wouldn't say I was a great dancer.
Because I know there were little routines and all, you know.
Little sidesteps and clicks of fingers.
But see, that would even throw me. Because you know? if you had to sing at the same time, it would be, both things can't work.
That was always the problem. It's hard enough to play guitar and sing at the same time. Never mind having to dance as well.
Yeah. So listen, the new album. Bit of a labour of love, is it? Because you put together a cracking collection of songs.
Yeah, you know, it was more of a project that I had in mind for doing for a long time. I was in the middle of making my new original album, which I'm about halfway through. And then when the tour with Ronan came up, I knew I kind of had to have something to come out. So I wasn't going to rush finishing the other album. So this project, because it only took like 3-4 weeks to make this whole record, because, you know, I just went into my studio and produced it up, and the mixing took 10 days and that was it. We were all done. And most of the songs I'd already had in mind for a long time. Like, I've always wanted to do a cover of No Frontiers. And Black as the Color with Sinead O'Connor was something as well that I always wanted to take a crack at. And then kind of trying to mix it in there with some new artists like Snow Patrol and Damien Rice.
Are these songs you would have maybe sung live or sung at a party?
There are a few. Like Crazy World, the Aslan song, was always my party piece, only because it's the only song besides Mustang Sally that I know all the words off by heart. So whenever I'm at a party or a wedding and someone says, "Will you go up and sing?" I'll only do it if they know Mustang Sally or Crazy World, unless they have a karaoke book.
No, you're the same. It's my downfall is the words. They'll say, "But you're playing music all day." Yeah, but I don't sit and learn the words. So you actually got Christy in from Aslan to sing. Yeah, it must have been good crack.
Ah, we had good crack. Christy's amazing, you know. He was never supposed to be on the record. He had just heard from the guy who got to mix the record for me. He'd heard that I was doing the song, and he actually said, "You know, if you want," he'd heard Sinead O'Connor was doing it and Ronan was doing it. He says, "You know, I'll do some BVs." And I was like, "Well, come on in." And we were going to do a different song. And then when he heard my version of Crazy World, he was like, "Well, why don't we just do that?" And we ended up singing that together.
Yeah, it's great. What, and Sinead? Because Sinead's got a reputation for being difficult.
It depends. You know, I suppose Sinead could be difficult if you put her in a difficult situation. Mm-hmm. You know, if you ask her questions that make her uncomfortable, she can be difficult. But not with me. When in the studio, she was fantastic. She got the train into the studio and everything.
Yeah.
So like, she was, you know, she's always been very good to me though, Sinead. She's always been very supportive, and you know, whenever bad things have happened, she's always given me a little text or a little call to see, am I alright? So
no, that's nice to hear.
She's a really nice woman, but I think, as you say, the only, when you hear about bad things about Sinead O'Connor, it is because she'd be like a trapped rat, you know. So if you put her in a corner, she will snap out, but she doesn't like being made uncomfortable.
Well, I suppose
a lot of people think she's a bit mad, and she's not, you know. I think if you actually sit and talk to Sinead O'Connor, everything she says, even though we mightn't agree with it and it might be a bit left of what we think, you know, she believes in what she's talking about, and she makes sense to herself, and it makes sense to me sometimes.
And she doesn't hold back. She's very forthright as well.
Why would she, you know? She's an artist. And
exactly. Other songs that you've done, Moondance, Van Morrison classic, of course.
The Van one, you know, there was just a million songs I could have done from Van. And obviously, if I'm making a collection of Irish songs, you know, he's probably the greatest Irish songwriter of all time. But that song in particular was my wedding dance. So
was it? Yeah.
Yeah. So it made sense to do that one for me. Just have that personal connection.
Just
as well.
a brilliant,
and it's a wonderful song as well.
It is. You were talking about the process. You actually had an original album you'd already started, but you didn't want to rush it or anything. Have you had problems with record companies in the past, maybe forcing you to do things?
No, I did obviously at the very, very beginning. But since I released my first record with Sony, ever since then I've been signed. I've got my own label, BMF Records, so all my music has come through that. And I pretty much just license it through major labels in different countries. So all the control and the decisions come from me, really. So I don't have anybody kind of telling me what to do anymore.
That's, I suppose, every musician's dream.
Yeah.
You have final call and you've got no one throwing deadlines at you and you have to do this.
But they still throw a few deadlines, you know. They still want to sell records. And, you know, record companies, if your record's not finished, they'll try and hurry you up because they'll want it out for Christmas or they'll want it out for Mother's Day. And, you know, that's them. I suppose at the end of the day, that is them doing their job. You know, they've got to sell records. And but for me, it has been nice. You know, it's not always been right. I've made mistakes myself and I look back and go, God, I wish someone had advised me better maybe towards that decision. But I suppose that's the price of, if you don't want to listen to anybody else, you're going to make mistakes and you got to live by them too, you know.
Of course, it's the gamble you take, but when it pays off, as you said, I mean, the Westlife thing in relative terms was a long time ago, and you're still doing it.
Still cracking on, and then hopefully I can ask for another few years, hopefully, until I'm too old to get up on stage.
Oh, it'll be a while yet.
I'm getting close.
How do you go with the technology? Are you on Twitter and all these other things? Yeah,
I'm on Twitter. Twitter's great for kind of having direct communication with your fans. And Facebook, I was very slow up on that. I'm still not really over that yet.
Yeah.
Just Twitter. Well, Twitter's handy. It's almost like just sending a text message to everybody. So
yeah,
it's just handy. But it gets you in trouble as well, I suppose.
What have you done?
What have I not done? I think I like to shoot off the cuff a lot, you know. And if somebody says something that annoys me, I will normally say the first thing that comes into my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And you forget then that, you know, like if you're having an argument with a friend, you might say something, you don't really mean it. But when you say it on Twitter, unfortunately, it stays around forever. So
yeah,
and there has been a few things I've said that are wrong. But
and I suppose loads of people will see it and maybe interpret it the wrong way. Yeah,
And as well, the worst part is as well, sometimes you try, and you can only have, I think it's 140 characters.
That's right.
Letters. So sometimes you want to make a point, but you've got to cut a few bits out, and it's, you know, sometimes it can come across wrong because you haven't, you know, fully said the sentence. So
yeah, no,
I've kind of laid off Twitter a little bit now.
It can be a curse. I mean, a lot of us have gotten in trouble with something you've said, especially if you're out for the night. And you maybe have a few jars.
That's
and
go the worst.
Out, you know?
Yeah.
And then the next day, did you see what you wrote on Twitter? No, it didn't. No.
There should be some kind of an auto lock, you know, where you can only tweet between 9 and 6 or something.
No, there should
know?
Be a breath laser on the phone. You know,
yeah.
Stop you. You're not allowed to tweet. Go away.
That's a good idea.
Come back when you're sensible.
The Tweetalizer.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, there you go. Copyright that. The Tweetalizer.
So they have them in cars now, don't they? Where you can, where you have to blow into the thing in the car, and it won't let you start the
ignition. Is that right? Yeah, they have those.
I'm not sure if they were brought in for people who were put off the road or something like that. But there are. There's ones that you have to breathe into a little tube, and if you blow over it, won't let the ignition start in the car.
That's brilliant. Yeah, but when you do it, definitely need that for our phones and everything else.
Yeah.
So listen, this is the end of the tour. You've been on with Ronan. What happens for you immediately after this? Do you get a break?
Yeah, it's not a break. But Ronan goes to Germany, and I'm going straight back to Australia. I have a few more things to do in the UK first. A few TV performances for the album. And then we go back to Australia, and then Ronan meets up, I think, in 2 weeks, and we start the Australian leg of the tour.
So you don't really get, I mean, it's not like...
The flight over to Australia would be a couple of days off. That's nice.
And that's
24
it.
Hours of just pure silence. I love it.
Nothing. Leave me alone.
That's
yeah.
it.
Well, you're working hard, Brian, but it's paying off.
I'm enjoying it.
I particularly liked on the album your take on the U2, All I Want Is You.
Yeah.
Because you managed to get that haunting atmosphere and all in there as well, you know.
Well, it's quite, if this is to be an Irish album, it doesn't really get any more Irish than Boyzone and Westlife doing a U2 song.
it's like
a St. Patrick's Day special or something.
Exactly. You think you're only missing maybe the Chieftains or the Dubliners could have played banjo on it, you know.
Sharon Shannon on the fiddle or something. <you know?
laughs> But no, it's a great song, and it's my favourite from the album. So
thank you.
Listen, well done, mate.
Cheers, thanks.
Brian, thanks for coming in.
Not at all.
You say you want diamonds on a ring of gold. You say you want your story to remain untold. All the promises we've made, from the cradle to the grave, we're not.